This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenbloom.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the ninth floor, but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Yeah, Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and more to my plate. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday suckage on the score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.
Steve Rosenbloom. I'm here. It's Saturday Suckage. Let's find out. Who else is here? Grobber.
It sucks and it freebases.
Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, you guys not going to make anyway. You guys suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the suck team.
Toby!
Oh my God, this sucks!
Random Bears fan.
Terry
Bars!
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Liam Hendricks!
I wouldn't say seeking perfection, it's just mainly trying not to suck.
Julie Swyka.
Man, that sucks.
Wilson Contreras.
Losing suck, I tell you that, and that's all I can say.
George Wendt!
We had fun, but there you go, I sucked.
Garth Algar!
Turn it off, man! Turn it off! It's sucking my will to live!
The legend, Steve Dahl.
Disco sucks! Disco sucks!
Candace Parker.
It sucks.
Roquan Smith.
Yeah, man. Sucks.
Zach LaVine.
It sucks to have it happen game one.
DeMar DeRozan.
You know, it just sucks.
Mike Tomlin.
It all sucks. There's not degrees of suck. It all sucks.
Josh Allen.
Sucks. Losing sucks. Sucks.
Pete Fairbank.
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck.
AJ Pierzynski.
They should have just come out and said, hey, we're going to suck this year. And everyone would have been like, okay.
Pedro Grifol.
We're 20 games in. Our record sucks.
Michael Kobach.
It sucks, man. There's no easy way to put it.
Mark Burley.
So it did suck.
JD Martinez.
They say we suck, we suck. Let's suck. Let's go suck together. Let's go have fun sucking.
Bob Costas.
I also don't understand, or maybe I should just applaud you for having the self-confidence to label your own show Saturday Suckage.
Sean Sears.
What's going on, Rosie?
Yep. Hey, hi. How you do? Sorry, I was sick last week, which really sucked. I'm back now, and Saturday Suckage, where we suck so you don't have to, is broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Phone number at the Score, 312-644-6767. That number also gets you to our text line, where I appreciate 708 texter, music for my ears, missed the suckage. 309 texter, morning, Steve. Good to have you on before the Super Bowl. Michael from St. Louis. Yeah, a little before the Super Bowl, I guess. All right, I welcome you in. This show has been sort of turned upside down for an unfortunate reason. The former Bears coach, Dick Turon, the news came. Dick Turon passed away today, age 74. He was diagnosed with cancer early in the week, and it took him quickly. His daughter, Casey, announced it on Facebook. Stories have followed. Reporters have confirmed it. And Dick Turon, one of the nicest men you could ever want to imagine, one of the nicest men you could imagine in football, a Yale, a high school star, a legend still remembered in Swampscott, Massachusetts, and a man who presided over one of the most miraculous seasons in Bears history. It included, are you sitting down, back-to-back pick sixes in overtime by the same player, Mike Brown. I'll bring that to you later. And it included a touchdown catch by Brian Urlacher. We will talk to the quarterback of that team, Jim Miller, later in the hour. We should talk to Brad Maynard. He had a perfect passer rating of 158.3. He threw the pass to Urlacher on a trick play, and it was a gorgeous thing. And, you know, it's not – it's sad the week that Virginia McCaskey passes away. And Dick Turon, they weren't just coach and owner. They were tied at one of the most polarizing or controversial or most one of the more embarrassing moments in Bears history. And Virginia sent her son to a room, and she made Ted Phillips president as a result of what happened that led to Dick Turon's hiring. Let's talk about the man, the football team. We're going to go to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Now joining us, download the Circa app today, is Hub Arkish, senior NFL analyst, a man who knew Dick Turon well. And Hub, I thank you for joining us as quickly as you could today on the show. Where did you hear the news, and what did you think? What were your first thoughts upon the passing of Dick Turon?
Well, my first thoughts, Steve, and by the way, great to talk to you again. What you started with, just one of the special people. You know, I've been doing this for 45 years now and worked with a lot of different guys who approach the game differently and then approach, you know, their time off the field and personal life differently. Dick, he just was a really good guy and a very good football coach. You know, he didn't have a great 5 years with the Bears, but that 1 year in the middle, that 0-1 season, that was certainly very special. And, you know, it's just very sad. It's too soon and surprising. And, you know, I heard this morning by, you know, getting up and checking the news and saw it there. But was not aware. Had stayed in touch for quite a while with Dick until I got sick a few years ago, and I've lost touch with some folks. So hadn't talked to him recently, but I do know that until the last couple of years, he was doing very well.
Hub Arkish, my guest, senior NFL analyst for the Score. We're talking about the passing of Dick Turon. News came this morning. Former Bears coach. He coached that miraculous 2001 season. And he was also remarkable himself. His steadiness that year, and all years really, Bears players will tell you that he was a remarkably steady man. He might not have been like in this in this day and age, he certainly wouldn't be Dan Campbell or Nick Sirianni. He would be closer to Mike Tomlin, shall we say, in terms of his demeanor. But he had his team's attention, all the players said. You were close to that.
Yeah, no, there's no question that the players liked playing for him, working for him. It is interesting, in five seasons, just that one winning record in 01. So there was ups and downs, but no question, a very good coordinator prior to becoming a head coach, a somewhat successful head coach with the Colts after he left the Bears, six more years over there. And, highly respected by all the players he played for. It's the one thing you're going to keep hearing about Dick the next couple of days as we're talking about everybody, their first reaction is just a special guy, a normal person, a head coach of the Chicago Bears. And this is still at a time when, Chicago was still married to the 85 Bears, maybe the greatest team of all time. And, even though it was the one Pro Bowl, it was still an important time to be a Bears fan. The Bears were still, known as one of the most important teams in the league at the time. And he did such a great job of studying that and going through the ups and downs, because there was a lot of downs in those four losing seasons. But he just did a great job with it.
So let's whiteboard the, I guess, unfortunate connection between Virginia McCaskey, her passing, and boy, did she live a life and see a century of unbelievable stuff. So her passing preceding Dick Geron, and the way they're connected is one of the more embarrassing moments in Bears executive history, certainly. And yet Dick Geron and Virginia McCaskey are inextricably tied with the way Michael McCaskey handled it and then ended up being removed. I mean, can you whiteboard this for the crowd out there?
Well, I don't have a lot of specific, facts or memories of it, other than it was a tough time for the Bears and the way it was handled. And, clearly the end for Michael's time running the team was coming. And, Virginia was the owner, the president had to make the decision and knew that she had to make a change within her own family, and get things reorganized and better. And I suspect, that she was probably a little more involved in bringing Dick in than she was with any other coaches. And I think the fact that she hired the type of guy that we're talking about at a time when the team needed to be settled down and started over is probably one of the reasons that, to whatever her involvement was, that she focused on him. It was a different time. It was a changing of the guard. When Ed passed away, that had been, 20 years earlier. So Michael had his time. There had been some ups and downs, but it was time to make some major changes. And Dick was the guy who happened to walk into the beginning of that.
Precipitating that move was the Bears apparently going to hire Dave McGinnis as head coach. Michael McCaskey was heading that as the head of the football operation and was so overjoyed by that, he put that on the intercom system and the hold button, and congratulations were extended to Dave McGinnis as Bears head coach. Except Dave McGinnis had not agreed to it. He was driving in to settle the contract and ultimately turned around. A man who was beloved by Virginia and Ed McCaskey, and a man who loved Virginia and Ed McCaskey. And that kind of about-face on Michael McCaskey's watch ultimately led to he found a Yaley, and he hired Dick Geron, and that was a stabilizing influence. And Virginia, pretty strong lady, says, okay, we're done with this. Michael got moved up to chairman, and Ted Phillips became president of the team. He was sort of the fifth Beatle, as it were. He was an adopted McCaskey with the way he was treated and the way he was adored and the work he did for them. That's kind of the way it happened, and as I remember it. And Dick came in and was stabilizing in that regard. And the presidency of Ted Phillips had its ups and downs, and Virginia was dealing with it. But to essentially send her son to her room in such a high profile, that's a strong woman. We're also going to be mourning and grieving this week and visitations on Tuesday. Your thoughts, your memories of Virginia?
Well, so many. I think I mentioned yesterday that, you know, my 17 years of calling the Bears broadcast before I moved to the Sunday night game of the week for the NFL, I saw every home game spent sitting next to her. The family booth is next to the Bears broadcast booth at Soldier Field, and she'd be sitting just a glass wall separating us. But she really knew the game, Steve. I mean, that's the part that I don't think Bears fans ever even thought about. But she was, you know, George Halas's daughter and spent 102 years learning it. But she really knew the game. She was very aware of what was always going on. She was always very concerned with how the team was seen by the city of Chicago. It was always her most important, concern. And she tried so hard to get things right. And you have to imagine with 11 children, you know, and then what, 40 some grandchildren, as far as the grandkids, the double grandkids, triple grandkids, how do you manage all that? You know, and how do you, keep charge of the operation? And with Michael, you know, he wasn't terrible, but he wasn't very good either. And with the mistakes that he made and the kind of the silly things that kept coming, it had to get harder and harder. And she just did a remarkable job of always keeping the keel. And I thought it was interesting listening to Wani last night on TV, and he mentioned that when they go to the owners' meetings, every owner in the league would get to Virginia to pay their respects and treated her with such respect because, you know, again, George Halas is his daughter. You know, I think that we in Chicago, because the team has struggled to win in so many recent years now, have begun to think a little bit less of what the Bears really are as they relate to the NFL. But the Chicago Bears are the NFL. They weren't the original team. That's one of the things that gets misled. It was actually the Arizona Cardinals were created before the Bears, but the Bears were the first two teams when the NFL was founded. And it's the history of the league, and Virginia was such a huge part of that and meant so much to everybody in the league because of it, that it's just, it's a tragic loss for the NFL, not just the city of Chicago.
For those of you scoring at home after those 11 kids, there are 21 grandchildren, 40 great grandchildren, and 4 great great grandchildren. That is a life. That is a prodigious. McCaskey's vote in a block, they swing an election. That's how that works. But to speak of what Virginia and Ed McCaskey, and I remember having a discussion with Ed about this as regarded Jerry Jones, and the McCaskeys felt the same way as their father. George Halas hated Green Bay and Vince Lombardi, but loved competing against them and knew how important it was that they have a chance to win, same as the Bears. And they were always about revenue sharing. They were always about dividing up everything equally, no matter about the market size. And Ed was making the point when Jerry Jones was going rogue on everything, and then it was, you know, there was Coke when Pepsi was the NFL sponsor, that kind of stuff. And Ed made the point, and Virginia carried on, that what's best for the league is that we're all on equal footing financially, and then the best football knowledge wins. So they were big fans of that. If you're talking about NFL owners paying their respects, that's a reason why. That led to what the kind of parity, the kind of revenue sharing, that kind of stuff, that thinking.
Well, yeah, and, you know, Virginia was taught well, you know, and I think we've got to give that some credit, too. They really understood, you know, the Bears' importance, the importance they could control in the league because they were the Chicago Bears, and it was important to them to always protect the game. They you know, obviously the Bears came first to them, but protecting the NFL and protecting the game even came ahead of that. And that's why they were so respected around the league. And that's why there were a couple of pretty big deals. I can't remember the specifics of a lot of them, but where, you know, the league was fighting, the owners were going back and forth. And eventually some of the older owners, they'd go to Virginia and bring her in to figure out how to settle it. And she was just very highly thought of around the NFL. And I don't think Bears fans ever think of her in that way because of the huge family and everything else that goes on in Chicago. But absolutely, you know, a key part of the National Football League for all those years with the Bears.
My guest is Hub Arkush, senior NFL analyst for The Score. We're talking about the passing of Virginia McCaskey, Bears matriarch, and Dick Juron. News came today, former Bears head coach. We'll talk more about the 2001 season, Dick Juron. We'll talk with Jim Miller later in the hour. But before I let you go, Hub, I'm one of those people who thought upon Virginia's passing, there would be a sale of the team. Maybe not the next day. And yet, I'm not quite sure that's the way it's going to go. There seems to be no talk of urgency. And I know there are minority owners who seem to have, if the team were to be sold, they would have right of first refusal. Pat Ryan's name first among them. What do you know about that, the McCaskey family wanting to hold on to the team after Virginia's passing or looking to put the team up for sale? They're certainly not going to lack for bidders.
Yeah, I don't know the specifics of it, Steve. I can't say that I do, but I can tell you that I know that there are a number of the kids who feel very much like their parents, that it's important that they keep the team in the Halas family, in the NFL name for all the history it brings, and not to move on and sell the team. And on the other side of it, as you already mentioned, that you're talking about, you know, over 60 family members, at least, you know, 50 of who are old enough to at least be able to want to have a vote if they don't have a vote. And how do you sort out, you know, what they all want? Who makes those decisions? Is it just still the living children, you know, who decide, or does it go to that next, you know, group of 40? I'm sure it's already been decided. I think it's in place as to what is going to happen next. But what that decision is, whether there's a sale in the next couple of years or not, I think that the family knows that getting a stadium built would double the value of the team, you know, and so why sell the team now if, in fact, they are close to maybe being able to get something done? So I wouldn't expect to hear anything immediate, but the fact that it could happen in the next couple of years once they're set and they've got a stadium on the way, that I think could be a real possibility. But then you got to sort out between all those family members, you know, who gets what, who wants what. I'm sure that there's wills and this has all been sorted out, but nobody knows the specifics of it right now.
Yeah, I don't know what. I'm sure there is a plan of succession, the way there was when Bill Wirtz passed away. I'm sure there's a plan of succession, and that kind of determination has been made. That's why I asked. I don't know what it is. I thought you might know. Maybe we'll all find out in the coming days. And for those of you interested, there's a visitation at Oler Funeral Home on Minor Street in Des Plaines, 2099 Minor Street. The funeral service for family and friends will be the next day, but there's a visitation Tuesday from 1 to 8 for Virginia McCaskey. Hub, I appreciate your thoughts on both the passing of Virginia McCaskey and Dick Geron and the Bears franchise.
Great to talk to you as always. You take care. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Be well. That's Hub Arkish, senior NFL analyst for The Score on Saturday Suckage. We'll take a break when we come back. That 2001 season, as gutting as that Fail Mary was in Washington this year, as season-turning as it was, that Fail Mary, and then to have it show up again as the NFL Play of the Year, oh, goody, Tyree Stevenson, man of infamy, that 2001 season was filled with miracles. Two of them were central. And we'll bring you those details. We'll bring you some of the things that happened. We'll bring you some sound with that. And I know there's a Super Bowl coming up tomorrow. The breaking news is this. Listen to me, people. Stop what you're doing and listen to me. Super Bowl 59 is tomorrow between the Chiefs and Eagles from New Orleans. Pre-game coverage will start at 1 with kickoff set for 5:30. Every moment can be heard on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. So that 2001 season did not end with the Super Bowl, but it ended on a rather unique day in Chicago sports history. So we'll bring you some of the highlights. We'll bring you some of that information. You can amaze your friends with the trivia. And there's nothing as trivial as what I know. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage. I suck so you don't have to. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Less than 3 yards to carry, and this was the number 2 rushing offense coming into today's game.
3 wide receivers set, Beasley in motion, and Garcia's pass is bobbled by Owens, intercepted Mike Brown! Mike Brown into the end zone, wins it in overtime for the Bears!
Couch out of the shotgun, throws, that's batted into the air, intercepted!
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score. Here's your host, Steve Rosenblum.
Welcome and welcome back. Coming up in a little while, we'll talk to Jim Miller, quarterback of the 2001 Bears team, coached by Dick Chiron. Passed away earlier today at the age of 74. Cancer got him. We will reminisce about Dick as the coach of the Bears with Jim Miller. Jim Miller had a season. You betcha. The Bears had a season. You betcha. But what you just heard coming in, first highlight courtesy of Fox, second highlight courtesy of CBS, wasn't just, you know, two random games where Mike Brown had an interception and turned it into a pick six. No. Mike Brown had an interception against the 49ers on a tipped pass thrown by Jeff Garcia off Terrell Owens. And he ran it into the end zone, and the Bears get a 37-31 win. And the next week, ladies and gentlemen, the Bears, by the way, to get to overtime at all, the Bears had to score two touchdowns in the last 4 minutes. Both touchdowns were scored by, are you sitting down, David Terrell. And it required a two-point conversion that Anthony Thomas ran in. There's your Michigan connection.
Those are some names.
Oh, there's more. Oh, there's more. The kicker was Paul Ettinger. He was the Bears kicker that year. The quarterback in both that game and the next one, Shane Matthews. Jim Miller played one, but Shane Matthews was the one throwing the ball to David Terrell. Touchdown with 4:08 to go to Terrell. That one went 13 yards. And then a four-yard pass, Shane Matthews, David Terrell, with 26 seconds left. And on the first possession of overtime, the first Cleveland possession of overtime, or San Francisco possession of overtime, Jeff Garcia throws a pick. Mike Brown runs it in. So that's okay. That's a really good. That helps because the Bears lost the opener to Baltimore, came back and they won. They beat Minnesota. They had a bye week in the third week of the season. That's how clunky this thing was. They came back and they beat Atlanta, and then they were going to play. And this is part of a six-game winning streak during that 2001 season. The next week, they're playing Cleveland. They are sucking against Cleveland. They are down 21-7 in the final minute of the fourth quarter. I'm just trying to make up for all the Washington mess this year that failed Mary. Shane Matthews threw two TD passes in the final 28 seconds of regulation. I kid you not. He threw a Hail Mary to James Allen. But the way it worked was he threw it to David Terrell on a Hail Mary. Terrell's job was to tip it forward. And there's James Allen diving in the end zone. And that gets the game to overtime. And in overtime, the Bears actually won the toss. Didn't do anything. Tim Couch. There you go. There's a name. That's quarterback in the... And Tim Couch throws a pass. It's deflected, and Mike Brown runs it in 16 yards. Back-to-back weeks. That was a season the Bears went 13-3. They lost the opener to Baltimore. The only two losses as they won 11 of their last 13 games, yes, back when there was a 14-game season, son, were to the Packers. They won 13 games, but they lost both games to the Packers, so it was an unsuccessful season.
Yeah,
it was
correct.
A failure as a season.
That's right.
Six-game winning streak, seven-game winning streak, broken up by losses to the Packers. They got to the playoffs that year. They had home field advantage. Here come the Eagles. It's a Sunday night game, I believe. Saturday night game, I think, on... At Soldier Field, 4:30 kickoff, or 3:30 kickoff around here, I think. And they're playing the Eagles. Should have an advantage. And they did not. 33-16, 33-19, I've tried to wipe that from my memory.
33-19.
The lone touchdown was scored by, are you sitting down, Ahmad Merritt. We'll talk to my next guest about it because early on in the game, Hugh Douglas separated Jim from Miller. But January 19th, 2002, you know why that date is significant, Sean? Do you?
It's my mom's birthday.
Exactly.
Yeah, I knew that's what you were going for.
The Bears game was in the afternoon. Do you know what happened earlier that day?
In 2001?
In Chicago sports.
Ooh. No, I don't. I don't. I probably should, but I don't.
Michael Jordan made his return to the United Center with the Washington Wizards.
Oh, that's why I don't remember it.
And the Wizards beat the Bulls. That was the doubleheader. I went to the United Center. Jordan beats the Bulls. Then you watch the Bears lose to the Eagles. And like, oh, this was quite a day. There was a quarterback on the play, on the field that day who had himself a season with the Bears. And Dick Geron was the coach. We'll have some memories from Jim Miller on the passing of Dick Geron. After this, I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The news of the morning brought the passing of former Bears coach Dick Geron. He was 74. Cancer got him. We've been talking about that this hour. Coach, the miracle 2001 season. What a series of events. What an unbelievable what an unbelievable string of games. Six-game winning streak, 7-game winning streak. And of course, I need to, this is why Saturday Suckage exists, because I called it a 14-game season when the record was 13-3, and that's a 16-game season, as a texter pointed out, and that's why I suck, so you don't have to. We're going to go back to the phone. Now, joining me on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline is Jim Miller, CircaLasVegas.com. Jim Miller was a quarterback for that team, for that 2001 Bears team. He played under Dick Geron. Jim, thanks for taking time out today. When did you hear about Dick's passing, and what were your first thoughts?
Honestly, it was your radio station reached out. Obviously, I've been on the road for the past couple weeks doing the championship game, the Senior Bowl, and now the Super Bowl. And it's, you know, it's the sad end of the week, you know, for me personally, you know, with what's going on with Virginia, now Coach Geron. So, yeah, very sad day all the way around.
So your first thoughts, your memories of Dick Geron, was it that season or the man himself, the man as a coach? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I played for him before. You know, when I got released by the Steelers, I signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and at that time, Dick Geron was the defensive coordinator of Jacksonville under Tom Coughlin. And I obviously, you know, I felt I made a good impression on him. And when he arrived in Chicago, I felt I had an honest chance, you know, to play. You know, I really felt that. I think Dick Geron, you know, much like a Pete Carroll, he doesn't care who you are. If you're a good football player, you're going to play. And I'll give you a case in point. I'll give you an example. You know, just how giving he is to give you an opportunity. Tom Carter was a very, very talented corner for the Bears. And when Coach Jordan got there, you know, Tom was kind of on the bubble. And they moved him into to nickel, tried to, you know, give him a spot there. And I had never heard this from a player. I think I was probably about 7 or 8 in the NFL at that point. I remember coming in after a training camp practice, and Tom was sitting next to my locker. His locker was next to mine. And he said, you know, Coach Prime gave me every opportunity to make the team. I cannot vote, you know, for me, you know, having to go out.
Jim, hold on just a moment. We got some transmission problems, so we're going to call you back and make sure we get a better line. I want to hear this. I have some other questions about the 2001 season and the kind of man Dick Geron was, the kind of coach he was. So we'll try to reestablish communication. The 2001 season was the kind of thing that, like I said, it had not just the back-to-back pick sixes by Mike Brown, a central figure in that Bears team, the soul of that Bears locker room, but also Brian Urlacher caught a touchdown pass. Brad Maynard threw a touchdown pass. Marty Booker, the emergency quarterback, was 1-for-2 that season. He had a touchdown pass. And some of the names of David Terrell, one of the receivers. Autry Denson was on that team. Until Jim mentioned Tom Carter, I had forgotten about Tom Carter on that team. And the kind of Shane Matthews was also a quarterback on that team. And you had Des White. You had Marcus Robinson. Dwayne Bates, Northwestern's finest. And the names that pop up when you look at what that season was about and why you might remember Jerry Azuma. He was your punt returner. He was your kick returner. And I think I mentioned Audrey Denson. R.W. McQuarters was returning kicks there. And Glenn Milburn, Paul Ehninger, that weird corkscrew style. He was the kicker on that team, the place kicker on that team. It was Olin Kreutz would tell you, he told Brad Biggs, talking about Dick Chiron, that he could walk down the hall and he'd see you. And he would say, we need a little more out of you. And that was far more withering than any screaming, any chair throwing, any, you know, Ditka-like event you can think of. It wasn't Dick Duron's way, much like it wasn't Lovey's way. They were similar in that way, the way players talk about them and the way you could see them with the public. They were quiet, stern, and you know how sometimes you don't want to get yelled at by your parents, but you know what's worse than that? I'll ask Jim Miller this now that we reestablished. Worse than getting yelled at by your parents or by a guy like Dick Duron was having them be disappointed. That always seemed to be the way it was with Lovey. That seemed to be the way it was with Dick Duron. Jim Miller, thanks for reestablishing with us. Did you feel that way with Dick Duron?
Yeah, sorry about that, Steve. No, good to be with you again. But yeah, I think you're right. You know, you felt like you were letting your dad down. You know, you really did. You know, and he didn't have to yell. He didn't have to scream. He never swore. Coach Duron, I think I heard him swear or say a cuss word once. You know, in my experiences with him. But I spent time down in Jacksonville with him, spent obviously a lot of time in Chicago with him. He invited me to go to Buffalo with him, and, you know, I chose to go another path, you know. But I was going to finish that story about Tom Carter, mm-hmm. you know, and just how he treated players. You know, you knew when Dick Duron, when you get in that auditorium and you know you're a Chicago Bear, he said, I don't want anybody in this room who doesn't want to play for the Bears. He goes, if you don't want to be here, he said, I will find a home for you. He goes, so don't you bitch, moan, complain. You come talk to me. And if you don't want to be here and you don't want to represent the Chicago Bears and what we're going to build, you let me know and you will be the first person off this team. I want everybody to be here and I want you all in. And so that question to Tom Carter, they had moved Tom around. He was a great corner, swivel hips. Say, well, let's put him in at nickel, see how it goes there. And it was a struggle for Tom in that training camp. And I remember coming into that after that practice and he said, you know, he goes, I can't point the finger at anybody but myself. He goes, Coach Duron gave me every opportunity to make this team. And Tom Carter is a great teammate, great player. He's doing great things for the NFLPA. But in my seven, I think it was maybe my eighth year, I had never heard a player say that. Never in my life. Normally your locker's just cleaned out and you are gone. And that's it. But not Tom Carter. He goes, he said the right thing. Because that's who Dick Duron was. He made you want to be a better man every single day and a better football player.
That's a tremendous, tremendous respect being shown him. That was a season of miracles. We played earlier the Mike Brown picks, back-to-back pick sixes in overtime, yeah. And then ran down what led up to that miracle, like a Hail Mary from that James Allen caught, and two touchdowns in the last 4 minutes, touchdown passes to David Tre. What do you recall about those two games before we get to something else?
Yeah, obviously I was hurt in that Cleveland game, the San Francisco game, which was the week prior. I had had a really bad hip pointer. And, you know, Shane Matthews played that game. And, you know, we knew we had a shot with our defense. We knew every week. I mean, we were just – and that's a credit to Dick Duron and his staff. They just wanted a bunch of hardworking guys that love to play football, and that's it. And we were a grinded-out group. Everybody showed up to work every day. Everybody got along, and everybody was making plays. You know, Mike Brown, how he came to the league. You know, just to how they even saw Brian Urlacher. I've said this story numerous times. Rosie Colvin beat out Urlacher as a strong side backer. All right, Barry Minner was our middle backer. Barry was a great player. And Barry, unfortunately, tweaked his ankle And they, you know, after Urlacher had failed at Sam Backer and Rosie beat him out, they just said, hey, throw the kid in there and see what happens. And then lo and behold, just a star was born. I mean, Dale Lindsay, the linebackers coach, I remember that first game that Brian played. He came out of that linebacker room. Every one of their heads were shaking of the plays that Brian was making. His first, you know, with his opportunity to play at middle backer. And it, we all knew as a team, nothing was going to be the same. We had a really good team.
Yeah, and that's true. The way that season played out, and it was so. You lose the opener against Baltimore, and then you come back, and you're going to win. You have a bye week after two games. You win your second game. You have a bye week. That's weird to start with, but you keep the winning streak going. You win six in a row with those back to back, capped by the back to back pick sixes for Mike Brown. And then you play Green Bay. The only two games you would lose in the last 13 games would be to the Packers. That's awful. That's a lousy season, Jim Miller. I don't care about the 11 wins. That's Chicago think for you.
Well, it's unfortunate because we actually should have won that game. It came down to the last play. We ran X shallow cross, and we had a hot read to James Allen. And they went a blitz zone where they dropped the defensive end trying to get in my lane to throw it to James Allen. So I threw it a little bit behind James Allen to just try and get him the ball, and it hit him in his back hip pocket. It was a tough catch, but if he would have caught that, he would have turned right up the corner and ran for a 30-yard touchdown. There was nothing but green, and we should have won that game. I wish I could have made a more accurate pass, and we would have beat Green Bay that last play. It came down to one play of that game, and that's what it came down to.
So
we would have won that game.
The last game of the year, I need to bring it up because I still think we all agree we hate Hugh Douglas to this day. He was dirty. He separated Jim from
Milton. I'm ready
for
a cage match. Let's set that up, Steve. Make it happen, Captain.
It took me
six surgeries to get my shoulder right after that.
I just think that was just all. I mean, that was a year you had to buy. 13-3, you had to buy. You got a home playoff game at Soldier Field. Has been drunk all day, and that was the day Jordan returned with the Wizards to play. I mean, it was an electric. I thought it was electric. What did you think as a player coming onto the field before that game, coming for the start?
Yeah, it's funny because I was talking to Donovan McNabb, obviously one of Chicago's own. He was down at Radio Row, and we were reminiscing about that game and all their great players. They had John running, and they had a really good offensive line, and Jim Johnson and McNabb, you know, they basically said that. They go, we were happy when you left the game. So, you know. I felt we would have won that game. I really do. It's unfortunate. I shouldn't have made the stupid mistake that I made to put myself in harm's way. And if I would have thrown that ball to the back corner of the end zone, we would have been up a touchdown. I underthrew it, and Dez, you know, did the best he could. But, you know, I should have thrown it to the back pylon, and we probably would have been leading 7-0 at that time.
And you might be healthy enough to be talking about a team that went to the Super Bowl. That's just such an elusive thing in Chicago. Well, what do you think about the current Bears, the current coach, the new coach, the quarterback, the prospects at this point for the Bears team that you've seen them go? You were part of all that quarterback stuff and coach stuff and turning over. Where do you think they stand now? What's your view now of the Bears?
Yeah, I do like Ben Johnson. I was kind of shocked. I thought he was going to take the Jacksonville job. But it makes all the sense in the world. He knows the division. He knows how to game plan. He knows the schemes. And so he feels very confident in that division. He's got a very talented quarterback in Caleb Williams. You know, I've talked to Ben numerous times. We've come friendly with him. Know a lot of guys in his coaching staff. I think Dennis Allen, JT Barrett, Antoine Randall L. These are really good coaches who are very good teachers of the game. And I think that's been missing. You know, people. I know people want to get a lot of young coaches that are the up-and-comers, but you have to be a good teacher, you know, and sometimes experience matters. So I think he's got a good mix of teachers, guys with experience like Dennis Allen, and I just really like his mental makeup and his approach. And I know coaches that have been in his past that have been his mentors, and he is very detailed. He's very organized, and there's a lot of depth to Ben Johnson. So he's a deep thinker, and he really, I think he's going to do well there. I think it's time, and hopefully this offense can get cranked up finally.
Before I let you go, Jim Miller, former Bears quarterback, has been my guest, gracious enough to spend time talking about Dick Geron and now the current Bears. Did you have a vote for MVP this year?
Yeah, I did. I'm coming under a lot of backlash, and I don't know why. I've had threats against my family, people calling me a racist, which is beyond the pale. You know, they sit there behind their desks in social media and tweet out this nonsense. But that's okay. And I'll tell you exactly why I voted the way I did. Lamar Jackson had an historic year. All right, he's done things at the quarterback position this past year that no other quarterback has done. So I rightfully voted him the offensive player of the year because he's a unicorn. He's a unicorn. Okay, he's the first one to do it. Saquon Barkley, who I respect greatly, he's really carried the Philadelphia Eagles. But there's eight other unicorns that have rushed for 2,000. And now we have extra games that allow you to rush for 2,000. Shoot, O.J. Simpson rushed for 2,000 with only 14 games. So he's not a unicorn. He's a great player who carried his team, and he is the MVP of his team. So I placed Josh Allen, one, for MVP. I placed Saquon Barkley, two, for MVP because he carried the team. I placed Joe Burrow, three, as MVP because they're the most valuable players on their team. Okay, fourth, I put Lamar. Correctly, he was placed Offensive Player of the Year because he's a unicorn. People think MVP is the most talented player in the league. That's not what MVP is. It's what you are to your team, okay? And I honestly, Steve, I put Patrick Mahomes fifth in my MVP vote, and I should have put him one. And here's why. Because he's 15-2, and football is the ultimate team sport, and the only stat that matters is winning. And he also is historical because he's won 17 one-score games, and he is directly responsible for it. And I could have slept very good and laid my head on a pillow at night placing Patrick Mahomes number one for MVP of the league because nobody's done what he's done as well.
So to recap your voting, Jim, your ballot read 1-5.
Yes.
Give it to us again.
Josh Allen, Saquon Barkley, 2. Joe Burrow, 3. Lamar Jackson, 4. Patrick Mahomes, 5.
And based on the idea that who is most valuable to his team, the way that gets interpreted as opposed to, the award is not called the most outstanding player, is it? It's most valuable, meaning most valuable to his team to that successful end, correct? That's the way you were thinking.
Yeah, that's well, people think it's the best player in the league. It's not. It's how they're most valuable to their team. And that's how I viewed it. And I, like I said, I personally struggled not, and I voted for Lamar twice already for most valuable player because the guy's electric. There's no denying it. But this is no different than back when I voted Tom Brady MVP and Peyton Manning had that historic year. Those stats mean nothing. All right. Yes, he had an historic year. He had 50 touchdowns, but I correctly placed him as the offensive player of the year. Doesn't mean he's the MVP. He's the offensive player of the year. To me, I voted Tom Brady MVP that year because he had done more. And I was actually at that championship game where Tom Brady and Peyton Manning were in the championship game. And Tom Brady was just off on an over route because of the thin air out there, the ball carried a little bit, and Edelman could not care. It was actually the last drive in New England. If he hits Edelman, Edelman walks in for a touchdown, and the New England Patriots are in that Super Bowl, too, against Carolina. And, you know, but that's how I see it. You know, it's a great year for Peyton Manning, but I correctly voted him the offensive player of the year because he put up gaudy stats. But stats aren't everything. You know, winning's important. And if you remember that Super Bowl 48, yeah, which is, remember, the MVP and all these awards, they're not postseason awards. They're not this is on your regular season. So you don't factor anything in come postseason. I'm just bringing up these points after the fact that kind of justify my vote. And if you remember that Super Bowl 48, Denver got trashed. They got trashed by Seattle. MVPs don't play like that in Super Bowls.
Are you and your family okay? The threats sometimes make, do you have extra security? Have you taken other precautions?
Oh, I've let the NFL know. Absolutely. I let the correct people know that need to be notified. You know, that's what you do. That's what, you know, you just got to prepare yourself. But, you know, it's uncalled for. At the end of the day, it's a game. We're talking about a game. I love this game. I'm a lifer. I love football. I think it's the greatest sport that we know of, that we, out of all the major league sports, because it's the ultimate team sport. You know, that's what gravitated me to it. And there's no other sport, you know, that I think even compares to football. And so you know, it's I love it. I'm a lifer, and I ain't going to stop. And anybody questioning my vote, that ain't going to stop me either. I could care less. What was the quote I made when the Bears, we won that 2001 division?
I remember everybody, that.
Yeah. I'll be in the middle of Main Street. I'll be in the middle of Main Street, and I'll give everybody an hour to draw a crowd. Then you know what they can do.
Yeah, they can kiss the backside, if I recall. Perhaps said more colorfully than I just did.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, thanks for your time. Appreciate you.
You bet. Good to be with you.
You too. Jim Miller, quarterback of 2001. I'm sorry, I ran over. We are Chicago Sports Radio, 670 AM, Chicago Sports Radio. I ran over all of a sudden when he's telling me he's getting death threats, his family, and like for voting for an award. I'm sorry, I apologize. We will get to Mark Grody and other nonsense after this. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.